I don't think I've ever given my testimony on recording. So that's what I'm going to do today.
Welcome to Just My Forte with Ben Everson. We're glad to have you along.
I'm so glad you're joining me today. I want to share how God worked in my life. And I think there's something special when someone shares their own testimony of how they got saved, how they trusted Christ, when they did so, what were the situations around them. I don't have a dramatic testimony. I wasn't saved in prison after murdering people or lived a drug life or anything like that. And for a long time, I thought, my testimony isn't that big a deal because it's not dramatic. But, sometimes just like what somebody doesn't say sometimes can be even more important than what they do say. The things that I missed out on in my life because I was saved at an early age are incalculable, right? Did I say that right? Incalculable. Right. And I was saved at an early age. Now, my mom told me that I was saved, that I trusted Christ. I prayed that prayer when I was 4 or 5 years old. And I don't really remember that. I have a memory in my head, but you know how it gets. You sometimes think that maybe you created that memory. And so when I was about 9 years old, we were living in Midland, Michigan, which is where I grew up, but we were living in a house on Swede Road, and there was a thunderstorm at night, I remember, and I had a bunk bed, and I knew that I couldn't remember if I had trusted Christ. Now, I knew I was a sinner. I had been taught that really well in Christian elementary school and Sunday school, and I knew what sin was, and I had lied and stolen things. That was my big thing, was lying and taking other people's things. And, I was a pretty happy kid, but I knew that I had lied and stolen things from others. And in fact, at that time, I had stolen a big pencil from a kid named Ryan in my class. And that was weighing on my heart at that time. And I knew I had done that. I knew it was wrong. And I called my dad in and I said, "Dad, I need to trust Christ." I think I said, "Get saved," right? Because that's what a lot of people say. And I prayed. He said, "Well, let's pray right now." And I prayed right then. "Dear Jesus, would you forgive me of my sin? I believe you died for me. Save me, forgive me, I ask you. Come into my heart and save me." And that's what he did. And from that day forward, I knew that I was saved because the Bible told me. And I know a lot of people struggle with doubts. And if you want to have a message, like hear a message about that, and how do you know you're saved, how to be sure you're saved, you can go to my website at beneverson.com or biblerevival.com. They go to the same place now. And you can search through the messages that I have on there. I've got a video message there. How do I know I'm saved? And it talks about that. I personally did not struggle a lot with that. I struggled with other things, but I knew I was saved. And I knew that I trusted Christ and he took my sin away. And even though I still had to wrestle with it, I knew that it was forgiven. And that was 9 years old. And I, one of the reasons I know that that was a real genuine thing is that I instantly started being interested in being baptized. And we had baptisms, not every week, but, maybe once or twice a quarter, there would be a baptism. And I knew what it was. And I also knew that my parents didn't let me take the Lord's Supper because I wasn't baptized. And the whole thing was that baptism is the next step of obedience to the Lord. That you show your faith publicly. And I knew baptism didn't save. I'm kind of surprised at how well I grasped that at an early age, but I had good teachers, good pastor. He always explained it the same way every time. And I knew it. So I wanted to be baptized. And there's a recording. I have a digital recording somewhere in my stuff that a friend of mine, Larry Macklin, sent me. He's been the sound man at Calvary my entire life. and he sent me a copy, a digital copy of that. So I have that on one of my hard drives. And I'll try to find that. But I got baptized, and when I was 10 or 11, so it had been probably a year later, maybe even less. But at that point, I knew I was saved. I was baptized and, you know, ready to do the next thing. And on to school I went, and I had a great time in school. I really liked parts of school a lot. I would go from loving school to hating school, but that's kind of the normal thing that kids do, right? But I remember sixth grade, seventh grade was a big deal. And my school is Calvary Baptist Academy in Midland, Michigan. And during those days, they just really were in a heyday. Now, they've had, I think, what I would definitely call different seasons of when they've had heydays. And heydays isn't some kind of activity in the fall in October with pumpkins and hay. I mean that there's just, you know, I think in any ministry, really in any team, sports, business, I mean, there's just times that you look back on and you say, wow, that was just an extra special time. And I was privileged to have been at Calvary at CBA during one of those special times. Now, they've had some since then. They certainly had them before then. But just the mix, the particular mix of teachers that were there and classmates and the, you know, the situation. I started in seventh grade in 1990. That doesn't sound right because I graduated in 95. So how would that be? I must have started in 1989. But I remember very well, like who the seniors were, who everyone was and all the different grades and everything. And I just loved seventh grade. I thought it was great. And, I embraced it. And it, you know, played basketball and just enjoyed things and played band and started singing. That's really when I started singing publicly. My junior high choir director said, you need to sing a duet with this girl. Her name was Sarah. And we sang a duet for a competition. And I don't remember if we won or not, but during junior high, but I still remember the song. Come, let us sing to the Lord, the rock of our salvation. And then the other person, come, let us sing, let us sing. I still remember that song all these years later. Moving on to eighth and ninth grade, I got trained to work in the sound room. And when I got in ninth grade, that was just a classic year because so many things happened that year. I was really making a decision. Do I want to follow Christ for me, like myself, or is it just a thing I have to endure? And the summer before, we had gone to a camp, and there were some musicians that were singing with all kinds of sound equipment, and they were using completely different style of music and all this stuff. And I was really thinking, man, is how we do things the right way? Just questioning everything all around the board, across the board, I should say. And my ninth grade year was great in some ways. I formed my first quartet called Academy Acapella. And that was awesome. It was me and an eighth grader and a 10th grader. And let's see, Dave, Don, and a senior, Mark Dickerson, who's on staff at Calvary. Anyway, we had a great time with that. I learned so much, but at the same time, that's when I got some detentions. That's when, you know, I tested some authorities and different things, and nothing. I wasn't going out drinking and smoking and things like that, but just, you know, am I gonna be submissive to authority, or am I gonna do things my own way? So, ninth grade was tough, and at the end of my ninth grade year, I was able to join a theater group in the summer in my hometown, and we did a Gilbert and Sullivan production, and I did that 2 years in a row, and that was a real help to me because this was not a Christian thing. It was with good quality kids from the city, you know, the upper crust kids that were talented, and you know, you would look at them as good kids, but you know, they swore and were, you know, making out and doing different things, and maybe even had some that were trying to sneak drinking and stuff that were underage, and of course, and different things. There was quite a mix. There was it went all the way up to 23, I think, was the high limit. But I did that for 2 summers, and that really helped me because I saw that, especially by the second summer, I got one of the lead roles very young. I think maybe I was 15 at the time. And I got one of the lead roles, and I realized that, hey, you know what? I could do this. I don't know how good I would have been. I don't know how far I would have gone. And I didn't have the knowledge of the corruption that is in the Broadway world, which, of course, is miles away, but that from community theater. But I realized, hey, I love this rush of the audience and the curtain rising, and I love this. This is great. But then when the applause was done, that was it. There was just this emptiness there. And the Lord used that the next year because I thought to myself, I loved it. I had a great experience, but it was empty. And to this day, and I don't want this to offend anyone else because we've got great friends who are a bunch of different friends who have different drama ministries and everything. And this doesn't minimize them at all. In fact, it maximizes them. And I'll tell you why in a second. But I can't spend too much time listening to Broadway music. I can't spend too much time like trying to get to know every single Broadway play that comes out. Why? Well, some of them are foul, but even the good ones, I like them. I love the music and different things, but to me, it always reminds me of the hollowness. It reminds me of the emptiness when the show is over. And I wanted something that would last. And you want to talk about transient. You want to talk about passing. I mean, you're only as good as your latest show in that world. And so that readied me. And that's why I respect so much people who are in the ministry of drama, because they are like the Academy of Arts Ministries with Nicole and Noah Stratton. They just, you know, started by Dr. Nikki Chavers. And then, you know, we've got friends, Stephen and Alicia Burke, with their ministry that they do. And they're not doing things that are transient. And even when they do secular type things, that's to help train people in acting and such. And so I have no problem with that. But I was ready because the Lord then in February or March of my sophomore year, God called me to preach. Dr. Don Sisk was doing a missions conference at our home church there. And it was a Tuesday night, I remember, and he was preaching, and he wasn't really preaching about being called to preach, but God's call came to me, and I define God's call. This is not an original definition with me, but I define God's call as an unshakable assurance that God has singled you out for a specific task. And I knew that task was to be a declarer of his word and to explain it to others and to encourage others. I didn't know how, I didn't know where, but I knew that was my job. And that helped me so much. I had dropped out of choir, because choir wasn't very fun for me, and just a bunch of different reasons. And the Lord had me in a unique place there. So I was called to preach, and my life really started taking on a direction then. I wasn't perfect. I still had a lot to learn, but now I had a direction. And the rest is kind of, they say the rest is history, but that's how God led me. It wouldn't be until my freshman year, was it? Had to have been my freshman year at Maranatha Baptist Bible College when I heard Dr. John Getch, evangelist, preach. And that's when I thought, hey, an evangelist would be exactly fitting of my gifts. And going to different places, because when I was in 1984, Life Action Ministries came to our church. And they put up a bunch of screens, and they did a program called America, You're Too Young to Die. And I remember seeing that in 1984, I would have been in first grade. And I remember seeing that and thinking that was just the most amazing thing. The Academy of Arts Ministries actually came to our church. And I remember them using the reel-to-reel for their sound cues and the light trees and all that. Our Christian school would take a choir drama tour every fall that I got to be involved in. And I saw people come forward and get their lives right. And especially young people, because we would do some churches, but it was a lot of Christian schools, and Christian school kids would get saved, and I would see God work, and all that was in my mind and my heart. So God called me to preach and then led into evangelism. I suppose that maybe the Lord at some point could take me out of evangelism and put me into a different type of ministry that was still like a preaching ministry. And that would not violate my call, because I was called to preach and led into evangelism, led into the life of revival work. So I suppose that could change, but called to preach. And so at that moment, I became a singing preacher instead of a preaching singer. I've had a lot of opportunities, honestly, to go join the staff of different local churches who wanted a music pastor. But just about all of them did not realize the depth of the call to preach. And I can't just go be a music pastor. No offense to music pastors. If that's what God has called you to do, then you would be wrong to shirk what God has for you. But for me, I'm called to preach. And that's a little picture. And another episode, I'll give you some background on things God taught me throughout. Other things God taught me throughout high school and college, how I met my wife, and different things like that, because it's exciting, and I like sharing that with you. But if you're listening to this and you've never trusted Christ, you've never had a time like I did when I was 9 years old and confessed your sin to the Lord and trusted Christ's payment on the cross of Calvary and believed that he rose again for you, well, you could do that right now. I did it as a 9-year old. It's not complicated. It's simple, but it's necessary. Please do that if you haven't. And let me know. Send me a comment. Send me a message. I'd love to hear about it. Thanks for listening to this episode. It's a little bit different, but I thought it would be great to share that with you. I'm so glad you're along for the ride.
Thank you for joining us today. Find out more at Ben's website, www.beneverson.com. We'll see you next time.